This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Well, hello, beautiful.
Holy caffeine!
It's the world's greatest super friends.
Ronnie and Aaron.
Faster than a streak of lightning.
A DC Comics podcast.
Absolute.
Tell me something, my friend. You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
Yeah, sure, why not?
I'm Batman. I'm Batman.
Batman.
He's a hipster.
The Flash, world's fastest human.
I mean, I grew up with Wally West.
Think about the future.
If you're good at something, never do it for free.
Dude, you're a dumbass.
You are foolish.
Ooh.
DC Absolute.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what the answer is. It's just like, it doesn't make sense.
So you know what I think is really awesome?
What?
The fact that, I mean, Ronnie, we're the same age. So I'm guessing you've been waiting just about as long as I have. But, I mean, it's been at least 35 years or so that I have been waiting to see a movie in the theater where the Justice League is on screen.
And we
got to do that this weekend.
I got to do that twice this weekend.
I know. I wish I had time to see it a second time. I'm going to go this week.
I'm telling you, and I'm telling all the listeners, and our special guest even got it, MoviePass.com.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because, yeah, I mean, I'll go into it in detail later when we talk about it, but, like, one time, using it one time, and then going the second time is like going free, so...
Yeah, I mean, I told you the difference in movie prices from you to me, like where we both live.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, using it one time is saving me, for the price that it is now, it would save me half of the cost of a ticket to go see the movie.
Yep.
So
did you see that post, Aaron, that I put in Discord yesterday? It was that picture of a soda fountain. I was in a 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
And they had that mojito soda fountain. I said, this soft drink in New Jersey would cost $28.
Absolutely. It's so true. And it's so sad. And the thing is, like, it just doesn't make sense why you're going to... And there's a new dine-in movie theater by us that they put in. And friends of ours went. And, you know, they have two kids that are the same age as my kids. So a family of four went to see a movie, and I want to say they said it was like the My Little Pony movie. They go to see that and have dinner, and it cost them almost $200.
Holy son of a bitch.
Whoa.
Yeah. So I was like, I will not be going to that theater.
Well, okay, it cost me the $6.99 for Movie Pass for a year, which, yeah. I mean, I paid for it. You can go by month, right?
Okay.
So, if you pay for it for a year, it's $6.99. But if you don't, then it's what, $9.99, I think? Is that right, Jay?
I think so, yeah.
So, I used it the very first time, Saturday. And when it was the in-between credit scenes, I opened up my phone and checked into Thor Ragnarok. And... went out, grabbed my soda that cost me $6, and my popcorn that was a free refill that cost me $7, I think. I went to the restroom, refilled both my cup and my popcorn, and then walked right into Ragnarok. So.
That's pretty cool. I probably have gone right back into Justice League.
Well, that one was already... See, we went to the 11:30 one with the intentions to go to the 11 o'clock one, but it was sold out.
Oh, right.
So, and then the only hang-up with this app or deal is it's only 2D, which for me, I don't care, because the last 3D movie that I saw that was worth 3D money was Avatar.
Okay.
And maybe Coraline. So, if it's just, and I don't know what it's called in your guys' area, but in our theaters around here is called D-Box, where it's like a big comfy chair, but like it'll tilt and shake and blah, blah,
no,
blah.
No, I don't.
Yeah, we... Go ahead.
I said we don't have those that I know of, and I wouldn't go anyway because I don't want the furniture moving while I'm watching the movie.
Yeah, like there's the rumor that one of those is coming by me, but there's nothing yet. You know, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if there's something in the city already.
But not Hoboken.
No, like, but I again, like Jay said, I don't think I would go to it because I
mean, it might be cool if it was like Fast and Furious or something like that. But
yeah, but like
I wouldn't pay $20 for a ticket to do it.
Well, that's just it. Watching Punisher, I'm getting motion sickness. I don't think I'd be able to handle a movie that's actually like shaking me around and spinning me as the, you know, cars are driving.
And those other, like, we have what, like, one of the 3Ds they have, I forget what they call it, but it's the one where you wear the glasses, the polarized glasses. Those things give me a headache. And it's twice the price.
Yeah.
Of a standard movie ticket. And I'm like, why, you know, why? I don't want to see it that badly in 3D.
Yeah.
Yep. So, what did you guys think of the movie?
I saw it twice. I saw it again today. And I know you guys are going to have like coronary fits about it, but I really, really, really enjoyed it, but I didn't love it. You know what I'm saying? I loved it for the fact, like you said, Aaron, like we waited 35 years to see the Justice League on big screen.
Yep.
But like I enjoyed Easter eggs and picking out Easter eggs more so than like the whole part of the movie, I guess.
Right.
So like there's a big internet debate about this versus that or whatever, and I can give two shits about that. It's I like comic books and I'm gonna go see the damn movie, you know what I mean? I might like a Marvel movie more than a DC movie. I might like a DC movie more than a Marvel movie. Or I might like an independent comic book movie more than either of the big two movies. You know what I mean? All right.
So what you're saying is you enjoyed Surrogates more than Justice League?
No, I really enjoyed Justice League. And a lot of stuff that I see that people were bitching about, which I'm sure we're going to talk about.
Yeah, probably.
I didn't really have a problem with it. There was only one minor thing that I had a problem with, but it was really minor and didn't ruin any of the movie, basically.
Right. Special guest Jay from Best to the Rest podcast. What did you think of the movie?
Well, I'm not going to have a coronary, Ronnie. I thought it was a very good movie. I don't say it was a great movie. I really enjoyed it, but there were some things that I thought it didn't do as well as they could have done.
But let me ask you this. Does a superhero movie need to be a great movie, or can it just be enjoyable as hell and be okay with that?
No, because, that's fine.
Yeah,
because for me, I love the hell out of this movie. I love too. Batman vs. Superman. I love Man of Steel. I love Wonder Woman. It was a blast seeing the characters that I've grown up with, like, realistic on a screen instead of crazy cartoony or, you know, just like, you know, whatever. But, like, I don't need these movies. I don't go into this movie thinking that I'm going to see, you know, like Godfather 2 quality films, you know, as long as it's not total garbage, I'm perfectly okay. I love the hell out of this. And, you know, I mean, there have been some movies from other comic book companies that, like, for me, the plots made so little sense, I couldn't get into it. But this, I thought this movie did everything it needed to. I thought, you know, how they got the team together was great. I thought everything about it was fantastic. Going into it, I was a little nervous that they were going to assemble the team kind of like in Suicide Squad, where it would be just like quick little clips of people getting together. And, you know, like with Suicide Squad, when they're like, oh, here's Captain Boomerang, he was arrested by the Flash, and they show like a quick clip. And then they're like, oh, and here's, you know, this person, they'd show like a quick clip. I'm glad they did it the way they did. And I'm glad that the shorter runtime didn't really affect that, I guess. I still hope that there is an extended version that will be released on Blu-ray. But
I am too.
But I enjoyed this. And like Ronnie said, seeing it, the Easter eggs were fantastic. There were so many little things that had me giggling inside that was on a big screen, and I could not have been happier for it.
And I agree, it is a superhero movie doesn't have to be Godfather 2 or, you know, No Country for Old Men or anything like that.
Right.
I think probably where I say it's not a, it was a very good movie. I didn't call it a great movie. Well, I'll save that for a little bit later, my reveal as to why I didn't think that. But no, it did everything I think they wanted it to do.
Right.
I think it did that and more, kind of, really. Like, it set the table for solo movies, right?
Yeah.
It set the table for, like, a couple of the Easter eggs for, like, spin-off solo type movies or introduction characters.
Right.
Yeah, it's on par. I mean, right, I hate, like, ranking movies, you know what I'm saying? Just because, like, this one's fresh in my memory right now. Because I know that we talked about if it was better than Batman vs. Superman or whatever. And, like, for me, just because this one's, like, fresh in my mind, I would have to give this one the nod of being the best one. But, and but you asked me 2 months down the line, that might not be the case. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Well, I don't, you know, I try not to use the word best if I don't have to, because it's just totally subjective opinion.
Coming from the host of Best of the Rest.
Yeah, I was
well,
just going to say.
That's yeah, that's a clever title, but I try not to say, oh, something is best, you know, or Marvel, DC is best, or Marvel is best. I don't try to, because it's really not. I mean, it's
purely subjective.
Purely subjective.
Yeah.
And I don't know, for me, I don't use the word best, but Batman versus Superman, for me, I was a more satisfying movie than this one.
Aaron?
See, I agree with both of you in that, like, I mean, this one is fresher in my head, so I'm still giddy over this. And, you know, like, I saw a movie that had a good movie that had a Green Lantern show up and, you know, the rest of the Justice League doing things and just, like, awesomeness everywhere. So I'm still super excited about that. But I think, I mean, I've seen the other movies well over a dozen times each. Mm-hmm. And like the ultimate edition of Batman versus Superman is so good.
I agree with that.
Like I think I will have to see this one more, but I don't think that the excitement of this movie is going to go away for me, you know? So I don't think I could rank them because, you know, it's all just so incredible that it's on my movie screens.
No, I'm not ranking them. I'm just saying, you know, what did I enjoy better?
Right.
And you know, what appealed to me on a deeper level? And, you know, Batman versus Superman. Now, you want me to get into the reasons? The reason simply is I thought Batman versus Superman was a darker, more complex story, and I like those. I like dark and complex stories. And this one was a little bit more lighthearted, which is fine, and it was quite an enjoyable movie.
Right. But I think one of the big complaints about the DC movies has been that it's so dark. And, you know, whereas the Marvel movies are comedic, you know, they're lighthearted. Yeah. But, I mean, has it always been Disney when they started? Like, even back with the first Iron Mans and stuff? Or did Disney take over partway through? Like, I don't remember.
Partway through.
I mean, even back before it was Disney, they were still, you know, they were not dark, brooding, whatever. You know, like Man of Steel was way darker than any Superman movie, you know, that I can remember.
Right.
You know, Batman Superman was the same thing. But I think it's building to, you know, the light in this movie, that, you know, you have Superman who's trying to come to grips with his place in the world, and it's going to be darker, and it's going to be, you know, more heartfelt, I guess. And then the same thing with Batman versus Superman, that starts because of the destruction in the first movie that gets Bruce Wayne, you know, to go after Superman. And of course it's going to be darker, you know, and more vengeance. And as that movie goes on, you know, and they start to realize what it is, you know, it starts, and then, I mean, Wonder Woman shows up, and it's all not hope, but it's better. And then, I mean, Wonder Woman was great. It was way happier than, well, I mean, it wasn't happier, but it was her hope and dream for making everybody, I guess, hippies and love each other. But, but like Justice League continued that, you know, we have to get these people together because we have to, you know, save everyone. And by the end of the movie, it was, you know, especially after, spoiler alert, Superman shows up, it definitely got brighter, and it got, you know, very hopeful for the future. Right?
Well, yeah, I think that was part of the whole reason, right? I mean, the S stands for hope, and we heard that, so
that's I think part of Snyder's whole vision for this, I mean, I guess his, you know, three movies that he's done was taking it from, you know, this dark, hopeless feeling up through, you know, hey, we can have this bright future. We now have, you know, these heroes looking out for everybody instead of just kind of hiding in the shadows.
See, and I thought that scene was great, too. I don't know about you guys, but when Bruce is talking to Diana about it, he's like, I'm the dark brooding character. I got that. You know, Clark is the beacon of hope, right? And then he was like, but you need to come out and show everybody that you're the beacon of hope, like, on that demographic, right?
Right.
When he was talking to her about it. And I thought that was really cool, too.
Yeah.
What did you guys think, go off on a tangent, about the Bruce's obvious attraction to Diana?
Well, I mean, it's sort of hinted at occasionally in the comics, right?
Yeah, it is. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying, what did you think about it?
I mean, it kind of makes sense in a way. One, she's an Amazon.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, Bruce Wayne is kind of, you know, if he plays off that billionaire playboy, you know, obviously everything he has is the best stuff. So why wouldn't he want to go after, you know, literally the best woman?
Well, that too. And I think there's that weird coworker attraction type thing too. You know what I mean? Like she already knows who he is, so he doesn't have to hide anything from her necessarily. True. I mean, it's Bruce. So he's going to hide stuff, but, you know, he doesn't have to put on the cowl, or whether that means the Bruce cowl or the Batman cowl, and be somebody else for her.
Well, that actually brings me up to one little nitpick I had about the movie. With the scene where Bruce was trying to recruit Aquaman, and they're walking around after, you know, they leave the
town hall. Oh, I know what you're talking about.
And they're having a whole conversation, and the whole town, you know, they're all still hanging around him, having this whole entire conversation about, oh, you dress up in a bat suit, you know, you're the Batman, and blah, 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 blah. It's like, don't you think he would probably try and protect that a little more? I mean, not so much Arthur, but Bruce?
I guess for me, and then Jay can go, but like for me is the town's in the middle of nowhere anyway. There's no internet, there's no, you know, modern civilization, basically. So what does it matter that these people don't know?
And did they even speak English? Because remember that one guy spoke and Arthur had to translate what he said? So
Right, but they all, didn't they all laugh at whatever? I thought they laughed at something in English, even though they were speaking.
I don't remember.
They laughed when Aquaman translated it, because he said, I will, he's going to give it to me anyway, or whatever.
Oh, right. Yeah. Right, that's what it was. Yeah, and I mean, I guess the village, at the same time, the village, you know, has protected the fact that Arthur Curry is Aquaman.
Yeah.
But it still, it seemed kind of out of character to me for Bruce to let him have the conversation where other people might be able to hear it. But I mean, literally that was one of like three minor things that kind of bugged me a little about the movie. And in the grand scheme of things, it really doesn't matter.
Well, that's a better one than your other one.
Nope.
Mm-hmm.
What's your
the
other
fact
one?
That Cyborg said booyah, I flipped the screen off and I said, hell no.
No, that's not the one I was talking about.
Oh, the fact that his eyebrows were out of whack?
Yeah.
What?
Totally messed with me.
Oh.
Everyone's talking about Superman having the weird digital lip because they had to remove the mustache.
Right.
But that I didn't notice or care at all, but he had like flyaway eyebrow hairs that I'm just like, oh my God, just smooth out your eyebrow. Every single time they did a close-up on his face, that was the only thing I can focus on. And I'm like, I don't get how anybody can even tell that his lip is digitally digitally changed, because this
I
is
thought my OCD was bad, but I don't hold a candle to you. I mean, I don't. No, it's not even close. Because it's like, eyebrows? Really? I didn't
Seriously,
even notice that.
Next time you watch the movie.
Oh, I will now that you
I'm telling you. His right eyebrow drove me insane the entire time. And it's like, why is that ruining this movie for me?
He just spent
so he must go
a year
trying to watch Stephen Colbert with the two different kinds of ears, the two different ears.
He just spent a year in the freaking coffin, and when they brought him out, he didn't know what was going on, and then he went home for a little bit, and then boom, right into battle. So he didn't have a chance to go get a manicure or his eyebrow waxed or anything.
He came out of the grave.
He had time for manscaping.
He fought a bit. And then he was hanging out at home. He was cleaned up. He was wearing, which I thought was awesome. Did you notice the flannel that he was wearing was the same one that Clark Kent wore in the original Christopher
Superman.
Reeve movie?
Yes.
Which was amazing.
It might not have been the original one, but it was the original color scheme.
Well, yeah, it was the same red and black plaid. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, same style shirt, which was great.
All right, I'm going to give you a nitpick, and I'm sure in this part, like I said, it's minor, not as minor as the damn fluffy eyebrows. But
it was the eyebrows, right?
No. When Wonder Woman's in the bank, or whatever it's at, and she does the little crab walk thing to block the machine gun bullets, because I understand she's super powerful and super fast, but not fast enough for a bullet, because if she was that fast, like Superman, when Flash did his speed thing, she'd be able to move too.
No.
I agree. I thought that was when she blocked every one of those machine gun bullets, you know, automatic fire. I thought, she's not that fast. So, but I kind of had that same thought too. Didn't bug me all that much, but
that's what I was saying. It didn't bug me like, oh, this movie's garbage, I'm out of here now. It was just
she has had 100 years of experience with automatic weapon fire.
Has she now?
Yeah, in the first movie, which was in World War I, she was standing there taking all the machine gun fire with the shield.
Yeah, that's true. The shooting
it back.
Yeah.
So you'd think that over 100 years, she'd be able to figure out her timing when she literally, I mean, she wasn't doing anything crazy. She was just kind of spinning herself and waving her arms and blocking the bullets. Yeah, if you get your rhythm down, it's like, remember the old game on the Atari Kaboom where you're going back and forth and you have to catch all the bombs?
Yeah.
At some point, they're coming so fast, it's all just instinct. And that's what she did. She was just playing Kaboom and saving everything.
Okay, now that you said that, that's fine.
That's probably what she thought while she was in the middle of it. Oh, this is just like Kaboom.
Yeah. I'm sure Wonder Woman had an Atari 2600.
No doubt.
She had so much time to kill. Yeah. Jay? No, I mean, I didn't really have a problem with it. I get what you're saying, that, you know, is she really that fast? But at the same time, I'm okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if I had any real nitpicks. Oh, there's one joke that was kind of I kind of groaned a little bit because it just was out of character.
When Cyborg said booyah.
No, that wasn't it. It was when Superman said something to Clark. I don't remember exactly what he said. Was something to the fact that I know you don't like me or understand why you don't like me. And Bruce kind of hemmed and hawed and said, I thought that didn't sound right. That's too corny for Bruce to say. But that was like the only joke that I thought fell flat.
What about when he's laying on the ground and he's like, oh, well, something's bleeding.
Come on, that was great.
That didn't bother me. I thought that was fine. That was
okay. I didn't say it bothered me either. I was just saying, like, you could see Batman saying that as opposed to...
Well, you go back to Batman versus Superman, where he asks Superman if he bleeds and says, you will. And then in this one, you have Superman saying it to him.
Uh-huh.
And then he's laying on the ground. He's like, oh, something's definitely bleeding. I mean, come on. That's great.
Yeah. It's
calling back to the old movie, calling back to a great scene in the old movie.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm fine with it. I was just playing devil's advocate, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to play devil's advocate.
Okay.
Ezra Miller's portrayal of Barry Allen. Did he overplay the awkwardness any?
No. Because he was playing a younger Barry Allen than, I guess, what we're used to seeing. You know? I mean, I don't know how old he was supposed to be in this. My guess is he was, like, early 20s.
Yeah, I think that's what I gather.
You know, but he's not the, you know, he doesn't work for the police yet. He doesn't do any of this other stuff. So... I'm okay with him being awkward and weird.
I was too, especially the background they gave him, you know, because he, you know, traveling, living off the grid like he does in the movie and having to move, changing places where he lives every few weeks at most. I can see.
His social awkwardness.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just wondering how, if he has, you know, random jobs here and there, how he afforded all that really great equipment in his room.
Well, you would think that... Well, I just assumed that since he was living off the grid and he had all that stuff, that he's fast enough to be like a hacker, right?
Right, but is he going to steal all of the computer stuff and, you know, I mean, it's great. He had the Flash suit, which I'm curious how he got it. Did he put it together? Did somebody help him? Like, I can't wait for a Flash solo movie where they might answer some of his, like, a little bit more about his background.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? But, I mean, he was obviously, he was working on upgrades to his suit because one of the big screens in the back had, like, a whole cold resistance schematic, which was kind of cool.
And he also, I don't know if you guys picked up on it. I'm sure you did. But, like, one of the Easter eggs that I noticed was, like, when he was talking about how many languages he spoke or whatever, he said sign language, and then he said
gorilla
sign language, which would, like, lead to, like, Gorilla Grodd
right.
type stuff. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, one thing I think that this movie did very well is that it gave each of the characters a full arc. You know, you saw Cyborg at the beginning, all awkward and angry and bitter, you know, about everything. And he's constantly evolving throughout the movie. His, you know, he's gaining new abilities. He's doing all kinds of stuff, you know, and then at the end, you see him kind of change, I guess, his skin. So he looks, instead of all like all jagged and whatever, he now looks like the comic book version that we're more used to.
Right.
You know, you have the whole thing with Barry, how he's living off the grid, you know, trying to make ends meet, like figure himself out and still see his father. And his father's like, listen, just stay away. But at the end, you know, he got, you know, he enrolled in the criminology classes. So, you know, he's getting there. And then it's like each of the characters, I thought one thing that the movie did very, very well is that it didn't really leave anyone out. It focused on everyone almost equally, so that it wasn't, you know, oh, it's Batman and Wonder Woman for an hour and a half, 20 minutes of Superman, and, you know, 15 minutes of the other characters.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah, I was impressed by that too, especially after the first, you know, the first 10 or 12 minutes of this film. I think I made the comment to Ronnie on Discord on direct message the other night. I said, like, the first 15 minutes of this film felt like it could have been subtitled Man of Steel 2.
Right.
Because yeah. You've guys seen it twice. Correct me if I'm wrong, but on the opening credits, the only character that they gave credits to their creators was Superman, correct? You know, I said yes. Superman created by Jerry Siegel and Joe. It didn't say anything about any of the other characters, but
yeah, that's correct.
So that struck me as interesting.
You know what? I honestly noticed that there, but I only saw the movie once so far, not twice.
Okay.
But while I was there and the credits were going, the person I was seeing the movie with was asking me questions already.
Oh, so I thought you were going to say this is when you were getting your handy.
No. I was answering questions and I missed some of it. I saw the Superman, you know, created by stuff. I just assumed that I missed, you know, Batman was created by and Wonder Woman. You know, because in the comics, Batman and Wonder Woman get their credit for who created them also. But I don't think any of the other characters, at least not that I've noticed.
Nope. Not yet. Anyways.
You know, and it's weird because Flash also has been around for, you know, 75 plus years. So.
Right. That was just something I thought I saw and I'm like, oh, that's curious.
Hmm.
But anyway, yeah, but like the first few minutes, I thought, well, this is going to be really heavy handed Superman. But then they did a very good job, I think, of giving each character, you know, time. And it was interesting to me because a lot of talk that I heard beforehand by a lot of people that had seen the trailers, a lot of people were saying, oh, Aquaman's going to steal this show. He didn't for me at all. In fact, I liked Cyborg as a character better than I did Aquaman, personally.
Interesting.
I feel the exact opposite of that.
Well, I think, like, our initial reaction to the trailer, or at least Aaron and I's, because we've talked about it pretty much each episode since we saw the trailer, I don't think there's actually one character that I felt let down by, you know, of the new ones. And honestly, without Cyborg saying booyah, I think it would have been a missed opportunity. So I instead of flipping off and doing DX chops to the screen, I actually chuckled at it.
That didn't bother me. He's a football player, for crying out loud. He's a jock.
Yeah, and plus, listen, it's like he says you don't have time in the cartoon, so
you don't have little kids who make you watch Teen Titans Go all day long.
Okay, so this is just a personal issue with you.
Oh, then. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I mean, that show, it's booyah, 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 booyah. And you're just like, what is even happening? It doesn't make any sense.
But, okay, well, I'll see that now.
Like, going into the movie, Aquaman was the one character I was the most concerned about based on the fact that I have not been a huge fan of Jason Momoa's in previous things that I've seen him in. And I was like, I really hope that he doesn't play the part the same way that he plays everything else. And I was very pleasantly surprised. I enjoyed him a lot in the movie. I thought Ezra Miller was fantastic as the Flash. I thought that, you know, the humor was, it fit with the character. The awkwardness kind of fit with the character where he is in time. I really enjoyed Cyborg up until the end with the one line, you know, but for me, the character that I liked the most in this movie was Batman, because I really enjoy this old, broken down, you know, Batman who, it's not him in Gotham City fighting, you know, mostly human people without special abilities. It's now he is there with literal gods fighting other gods. And right. He's doing everything he can to hold his own. But where, you know, after a fight where they all get beaten up, and the Flash is like, you know, my blood sugar's low. I need some food. He is, you know, he's got probable internal bleeding with the bruising he's gotten. He's got broken bones, his shoulder separated, and he's still Batman. He's still, you know what? This job has to be completed. I'm just, Wonder Woman resets my shoulder and I'm back out there. And that, to me, I don't care what anybody else says. That makes this movie for me. You know, the fact that Ben Affleck plays like Bruce Wayne and Batman so well that, you know, all these rumors of him leaving, which are garbage anyway, man, like, no one's going to be able to do what he's doing in these movies.
I tend to agree. I thought it was damn good what he did. And I've said, and I'll say again, you know, Ben Affleck is my favorite as far as who's played Batman live action. Now, Kevin Conroy on the animated, that's a different story. I kind of separate that out a little bit. That's a little bit different.
Right.
But between the characters that have played him on film, Affleck is far and away my favorite. I just love what he's doing with that character, and especially with Bruce Wayne. He's gotten Bruce Wayne really well done.
Right.
And I do too. I've heard people complain about, said, oh, the timing is off on this because he's been Batman now for 20 years and he's just now forming relationships with these other characters and forming the Justice League. I'm like, screw that. Don't worry about that. This is, enjoy it for what it is. I think it's doing really well.
Yeah.
And he was so much Bruce Wayne. I mean, he was manipulative, just like Bruce Wayne is. You know, he was a jerk, just like Bruce Wayne can be. He did everything well.
And at the end, when Clark is like, how did you get the house back? And he's like, oh, I bought the bank. Not, oh, I paid, you know, the back, you know, money owed and I bought the house. Oh, I just bought the bank and here I have the house.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's awesome.
I think a lot of what you guys are saying is like, there's one scene that sticks out to me and it's with, cause there's also the debate about how is it translated from comic book to movie or is it movie to comic books? Right. But to me, it all makes sense. Like, the first time I saw it and we had, Barry and Victor was digging Superman up. Right.
Yeah.
And I'm like, the Flash is there. Why in the hell doesn't he just like dig it up super fast? Why are they doing it slow?
He mentioned that.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, I thought that in my head, and then like 20 seconds later, I get an explanation of why. Right.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. That's awesome that hardcore comic book readers like us three who might question it, and then they give us an explanation, right?
Right,
yeah.
Or a sensible explanation, not just a throwaway type thing. Because if he would have said, you know, I've never done this before and I'm scared or whatever, I would have been like, oh, that's lame. But his, like, I've never done this before and it's Superman, so I think it'd be rude for me to do that, then I was more than happy with. And I thought that was like the characteristic of Barry. And I just like every aspect of it, I thought was great. Like when you have the big brooding Aquaman, right? Which he's younger also, because he even says, I'm young and I still got shit I want to do.
Yep.
And he's setting on the lasso of truth.
Oh, that was God, my favorite was that, scene of his.
Was that not the best? I had to make sure that we talk about that. Yeah. Because when he's talking and all of a sudden his whole tone shifts and I'm just like, what are they doing? Like, this isn't Arthur at all. And then, of course, you know, you see the lasso there. I'm like, oh, my God, how perfect is this? Like, he doesn't even notice, you know, that she got it on him. And that so amazing.
That was his best scene. I thought Jason Momoa, as far as acting, that was his best scene in that movie, was that.
Yeah.
And it was hilarious because Bruce is kind of trying to draw his attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
And Wonder Woman's smirking the whole time. She knows what's going on.
Yeah. And the funniest part of that for me is how afterwards, the only one that he says anything to, like,
was you Flash. Talk about
this, I'm going to kill you, is the Flash.
Yeah.
Because, you know, of course, he's, you know, this big guy who's going to pick on the little guy.
Right. No, I thought that was, I thought that was well done as too.
Yeah. Couple other Easter eggs. I think you mentioned this one to me. I saw it also, the big Janus sign in the skyline.
Yes.
Which is awesome that they're, you know, giving a little hint at Black Mask.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really cool.
Yep.
I liked how one of the detectives that Gordon was talking to was Crispus Allen.
Yep.
Which is fantastic because, I mean, not that I'm expecting, you know, like Spectre to show up in any movie, but just the little, hey, you know, we know you're out there, fans, and here's a name for you.
Yeah, exactly. Did you catch that, Jay?
No, I didn't.
That's when Gordon is talking to the black officer about the 20 years, and then he finally snaps after 20 years.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's the whichever detective is handling, investigating, whatever.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I loved when they were showing the old war between, you know, the Atlanteans and the Amazon and humans, all the people that they kind of threw in there, how they, you had a Green Lantern show up fighting along the humans, and when he gets killed, how his ring zips up and flies away to go find another host.
Yeah, that was awesome. I thought
Zeus looked like Zeus being in the fight was awesome. And you saw the one, you know, looked like Artemis was there also, like the god Artemis, not the Amazon, who's also there, because she's the one that shot the arrow that blew up that thing.
Right.
Which was great. You know, I mean...
And then when they were burying the boxes, it was like King Arthur and one of his knights.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so many great little things. I definitely need to see this again without somebody talking to me. So I can really like sit and try and pick things out.
The one, did you know, I don't know, you guys might have, when I put the headset down, you guys might have already said this one, but when Barry was checking into the penitentiary to see his dad, the officer behind the mask, or behind the glass, was the original Jimmy Olsen.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
You know, I knew he was in it. I like, somebody said that he was going to be in it, but I didn't notice that was him.
Yeah, that's the one where Barry takes it, you know, you see the flash and then he does the Sharpie on the...
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. I like when they do little things like that.
I was exceedingly surprised and grateful that they didn't have a Harley Quinn cameo in this film. Since I'm joking. It seems like they have to put Harley Quinn in every other damn thing. So,
well, I mean, besides Suicide Squad, though, she hasn't been in any of the other.
I know. I'm just, she's been in like all the animated stuff. Like,
right.
But they even had to have her in Batman versus Two-Face. She had to have a cameo in that for some.
I do have one question for you guys, though.
Uh-oh.
So when they're buying, or when Bruce or Batman, whoever, is buying and it's going to set up the Hall of Justice, basically, right?
Okay.
And he said, we're going to have a big conference table right here, and we'll set five or six, or we'll set six.
Yeah.
Who's the sixth person?
Batman, Wonder Woman, Superman, Flash, Aquaman, Cyborg is six people, Ronnie.
Okay. Well,
I know your Missouri math classes are probably not as high standard as the rest of us, but I mean,
but I also
100% six of them.
Okay, that's fine. Because I was like, I didn't like count it out on my fingers like that. But I was like, wait, was there only five? Because I guess because Bruce was saying that I wasn't counting him. But then I liked when Wonder Woman said with room for expansion or whatever.
Yeah. Well, they gotta have the lanterns in there at some point in the DCEU. I don't know when it'll be, but it'll...
Was he buying a new place, or was that just Wayne Manor that he was reopening for the first time in years?
See,
that's what I thought it was. You know, seems like he lives in the cave and everything. Like, he doesn't go in the house at all. And I thought that was, you know, his home that they're just going to clean up and make that their new Hall of Justice.
It could have been. I didn't really think about it one way or the other.
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember seeing, I'm sure there was an external shot, but I don't remember what it was. But I mean, it's not like it's this downtown city building, you know, like it sometimes is in the comics or cartoon.
Right.
Question about the two end scenes, well, the credit scenes, I guess. One, the first one with Flash and Superman racing, I thought was fantastic. But why was Superman flying and not running?
Good question. I don't know.
Doesn't he always do that in the comic books?
I thought he ran in the comics when they raced.
I thought they've showed both ways, so that's why I didn't really question it.
Now maybe they have. I don't remember. But I thought that the one I remember, I thought they were running.
I know it is. I've seen. I remember what the cover looks like of the comic book where they race, and they're both running. Yeah. But I don't know. Of course, now you can ask the question: why does Superman fly at all? Because he didn't for years in the comic books. His original incarnation couldn't fly. So.
Well, that also kind of leads me. One of my favorite parts in the movie was when Superman came back and they all attack him, and Flash is trying to run. And just when Superman kind of turns, looks out his eyes to the side and starts turning his head to see the Flash and Flash's face when he realizes that Superman is moving as quick as he is.
Yeah, that was a definitely holy shit moment for the Flash.
And, you know, because I was curious because I think the Quicksilver scene in X-Men Days of Future Past was done so well that I was curious if there was going to be anything to try, you know, to try and do anything like that in this movie. And I think that all of the Flash is running. I mean, it didn't need to have a whole scene where he's moving people's arms and, you know, changing where the bullets are going and stuff like that. But I thought, you know, him running around in the fight and just poking the sword back into Wonder Woman's hand and, you know, his facial expressions with Superman and all the little stuff I thought was done really well with him.
Yeah. And I don't think it was overdone either.
Yeah.
I mean, it like not using that effect because it's cool. When they did it, it had place.
Right.
Right. I thought it was really well done.
Yeah. The other question I have is
the other scene.
The other end scene where, you know, Deathstroke, which is awesome, shows up.
And he looks awesome.
Oh my God, he looked awesome.
Yeah, he did look really good.
And I missed a lot of the dialogue because someone was going, Who is that? Don't shush me. I'm like, no, I will just shut up. I'll tell you later. But do you think that, you know how the first bunch of Marvel movies had Samuel L. Jackson showing up and sort of recruiting the members of the Avengers? Mm-hmm. Do you think that we're going to see, now that Lex and Deathstroke are together, talking about, you know, our Injustice League? Do you think
the Legion of Doom?
Yeah, like do you think they'll have at the end of Aquaman, you know, maybe him talking to Black Manta, and at the end of, you know, the Flash, you know, do you think that there's going to be scenes of in each of the movies leading up to the next Justice League movie, them putting together, you know, this team? Or do you think it's just a one time, you know, hey, don't forget, we still got these guys out here kind of thing?
I don't know. I don't know how they'll do it. I wouldn't surprise me if they did that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm totally okay with them introducing characters like that.
You know, of course, we can sit here all day and speculate who it's going to be. Is it going to be Black Manta, or is it going to be, you know, surely they've got to get Joker in there. I mean,
I hope they don't,
but how can you, again, I don't know.
I hope, you know, I mean, he was in Suicide Squad, and my hope is, I mean, even because I believe the Batman movie they're talking about coming out is going to be Deathstroke as the bad guy. So I'm more than okay with the Joker being held out as a main villain for a while.
Yeah, but on the other hand, I don't know. I'm thinking their thought process is going to be, how can you have Batman without the Joker?
But
you know who the villain should be in the Batman?
Swear to God. He's going to say Kite Man.
No, I knew it. I knew he was going to say yeah, if you want to get, only want to gross about $60 million at the box office.
You only want to gross about $60 at the box office. It's going to be Ronnie going to see it three times.
Yes. There's only one guy in the theater.
Why is this theater empty? Good thing I have this app and it's only $7 to see it a month. Yeah, like, I'm okay with them holding the Joker back. And, I mean, they have had the Joker in Batman stuff before. Like, in Batman Superman, he has the Robin suit, which is all Jokered up, it looks like.
Right.
So, my hope is in a future, you know, not distant future, but, you know, two movies away from now, they'll have something where Batman and the Joker will come face to face and he'll bring up the fact, you know, that I killed your sidekick or whatever. You know, and then give us
like
a flashback,
the callback to
give us a flashback scene of him
beating a kid with a crowbar. You bring up a good point. Since we've got an older Batman, I guess they couldn't have a young Jared Leto Joker. Well, I guess they could. I mean, it just depends how they want to do it. But
we'll see. I mean, Batman was thinking
Suicide Squad. So,
well, that's what I was thinking. Is like he's already 20 years into this point, and we got the joke about the roll up penguins or whatever, yep. Right?
So good.
So like he's already got those people, and we already know that Arkham exists because of the post credit scene.
Right.
So is it gonna be more of like Bruce not so much hands on as to like Batman Beyond style? Not saying like with Terry McGinnis, but maybe with Dick or with Tim. Obviously not Jason, because, you know, he was already alluded to being beat the shit in Batman vs. Superman, but...
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, it really wonders about that,
so
because...
so many ways they can do it.
I mean, I don't know how they're going to do this, because I'm looking at, you know, they've got movies planned out through 2020. We don't even have the Batman movie's not even on the radar yet. Mm. Justice League 2, they haven't said any. So you got to figure it's going to be after 2020. You know, Affleck's going to be well into his 50s by then.
Yeah.
And it's going to be interesting to see how they, you know, use him as a character. Is he going to become more of a mentor role?
Mm.
I can't see that, though. People are not going to... The movie going on is just not going to accept a non-kick-ass Batman.
No, but you could have Batman sitting up in the watchtower, kind of running things.
Yeah.
And then showing up for the big fights instead of, you know, little stuff. I would be okay with that, too. But I see what you mean. Like if you have Batman that isn't really Batman, why even have him? And you need to have Batman in these movies.
Yeah.
But yeah, what is the next movie that's coming out? Is it Aquaman?
Aquaman is not coming out until December of next year.
Yeah, I was going to say
13 months.
Yeah, because it seemed like
it's already done though, right?
It's finished filming. They're all in. Okay. Post-production stuff,
which I'm sure
is going to be time-consuming.
The scheduled release date for Aquaman is December 21st, 2018.
Okay, because I know that Momoa just started filming The Crow, so...
Yeah, no, they're all done with Aquaman.
And then after that is Shazam, which I'm not sure how I feel about that.
You know how you feel about that? It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I've just got to get over that corny 70s TV show. Saturday morning TV show. I'm not sure. But, that's what I'm saying. Because, like, I know Wonder Woman in 2018, that's the only thing. And then Shazam and Wonder Woman 2 are scheduled for 2019. And then Cyborg and Green Lantern Corps are 2020.
Mm.
So that's all they've got scheduled out. Now, that's not to say they can't
schedule other. I thought that they were pushing the Suicide Squad 2 up a bit also. I don't think it's next year, but I thought that might be 2019 also.
It might be. I don't know.
Because it was one of those, maybe we'll do a sequel, but then it did so well that they're like, okay, let's get a sequel out.
And the Sirens one comes out too, right?
At some point. They've announced a lot of movies. I don't know what the...
Nightwing Solo, I think, even...
Yeah.
Well, and they're going to do Flashpoint. That's another one, which I think that's going to be a great movie if they can pull that off.
As long as they don't cut it too short.
Right.
Like, if that can't be a movie where they're like, we're forcing this to be, you know, a 110-minute runtime.
No, you can't do that.
There's so much stuff. I mean, it doesn't have to be 3.5 hours long, but it's got to be given enough time to breathe.
True.
But that's going to be awesome.
I think that I almost hope that they call the audible and adjust release schedules.
Oh, I'm sure all of these are tentative. I'm just
because it would almost make more sense if you had one or two a year, you know.
But I'm just going by what they've done so far.
And
it's taken 3 years, but between casting, filming, post-production, it's taking 3 years to get one of these movies out. So even if they started on Batman today, if you're going to take that long, you're talking 2020 or 2021.
Right.
So, yeah.
I will say, though, Mira in this movie was fantastic, and I cannot wait for Aquaman.
Yep. Agreed.
Except I hope in the film they don't have to generate an air bubble every time they want to talk. Right?
That I didn't understand that. Like, if they can breathe underwater, why can't they talk underwater? Or, I mean, unless most of their conversation is going to be just done indoors where they have domes or something ridiculous. But, yeah, that did confuse me. I forgot about that. Okay, we were going to have another guest who couldn't make it, so he sent me a message with a couple things he wanted us to talk about. So
he couldn't make it because he's going to see Justice League again.
Could be. He's already
for seen the 12
four,
times
four times this weekend. I'll just read you what he wrote to me, and then we can all comment on it later.
Dear Martha,
he says, so some thoughts if you want to use them as talking points. I teared up in three places. One, in that bank heist that Wonder Woman stops when she says, I believe, and attacks the heist boss. Next, when Lois comes out of the car and you see Clark's face. And finally, towards the end when we get the speech about being heroes. These three spots are really what the DCU needed to not only set up the future movies, but what it needed to reset the darkness that was so pervasive in the Man of Steel and Batman vs. Superman. I love those films, but with the political climate of today, super movies really need to have a sense of hope for a better future. This movie isn't perfect, but I loved it. Looking forward to your conversation, and sorry I couldn't make it. So, I mean, we sort of touched on a little bit of that with the hope, you know, and moving, you know.
Was that from Guy Gardner?
That was from Guy Gardner, yeah. It was actually from Saint Walker, who has lots of hope for the future.
Okay.
Those are all great scenes.
Yeah, I mean, what was there any point in the movie that hit you in the feels?
Yes, there was one for me.
Okay.
And it wasn't any of those. It was when right after they resurrected Superman, and he's grabbed Batman and holding him up. And he issued what I thought was the best line of the film. He says, Bruce says, you won't let me live and you won't let me die.
Mm.
I thought that was just a profound statement. I'm like, holy cow, that really, that one kind of hit me a little bit.
Yeah, that was really good. Ronnie?
I don't know if it, like... any one particular standout scene.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's lots of them, and we've pretty much touched on all of them that, you know, got me like right in the gonads. But like what Jay just mentioned was great. I kind of liked when, like I said, when Batman or Bruce was talking to Diana and explaining the role, you know, I'm the dark and brooding guy that doesn't see the light at the end of the tunnel, right? Right. Superman is that beacon of hope for most people. And then, you know, you have to step up and stop being that brooding person and be the beacon of hope for a different demographic. I thought that was a pretty powerful speech and line.
Yeah.
Now that we were talking about it, though, there is one thing that I was kind of disappointed about. Like, when they resurrected Clark, I was kind of disappointed that he didn't have his black with silver suit on.
I had read there were a lot of people were expecting that.
You know what? I'm kind of glad they didn't.
No, I get why they didn't. But, I mean...
It would confuse all the non-comic book people, really.
That's what I'm saying. I kind of figured that is why they didn't. But it would have been cool if he would have been black and silver, because after that scene, you know, he takes Lois home anyway.
Yeah.
And then he could have changed into the traditional garb for the in-fight scene and all that. And I kind of liked when we saw the lighter side of Clark too at the end, where him and Victor are laying there, and he was like, "I was wrong," you know. Yeah. They're laughing. He was like, "I was wrong. I wish I was dead," or whatever.
Yeah. I like when Cyborg's response is like, "My toes hurt. How is it that my toes hurt?" For me, not so much the scene where Lois and Clark see each other, but when they're back at the farm, you know, the farmhouse, and they're talking, and Clark kind of, you know, he kind of looks to the side, and I guess because he hears his mother's car coming, and he's like, "Oh, you called Mom?" And then when she gets out of the car and sees him, and like they run over to each other, that part there, I was like, man, that was the spot that got me. Not like tearing up or anything, but I mean, you know, I have little kids, and they stayed over at my brother-in-law's house just overnight. And when I saw them the next day, I was like, oh man, I miss them so much. You know? Right. And I couldn't even imagine, you know, having my child die and be resurrected as, you know, Superman.
You saw them and you said, "Oh, I miss them so much." And then 20 minutes later, you're like, "You want to go back to your grandma's?"
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely. But, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know. I also like the line of when Lois asked him how come he hasn't been in the house. He's been outside the whole time.
Yeah.
And he said, "Well, I just spent however many months in a wooden box."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, this movie did a lot. I think it did a lot of stuff really well, balancing, you know, yes, it had more humor than the last movies. But I thought it didn't feel awkward.
No.
What did you think of Steppenwolf?
Do you mean like not traditional looking Steppenwolf, or 20 feet tall Steppenwolf, or what do you mean?
I mean, just in general, as the big bad of the movie. You know, I know one complaint people, well, reviewers were trashing the movie because it was CGI. And I'm like, wait a second. 3 weeks ago, you were praising Thor Ragnarok, and like 95% of that movie is CGI. Like, the Hulk is CGI.
Right.
You know, like every bit of everything is CGI in all of these movies. And you're going to nitpick, oh, yeah, this bad guy is CGI. Well, of course.
You know? I don't know. I thought the way he was portrayed was really good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a great antagonist, but he's very two-dimensional. I mean, you didn't really get any motivation. He kind of did a little bit when they talk, but you know, he was stereotypical bad guy.
Well, I mean, he said he had to destroy this planet so he can get himself back home. So, like, I mean, he had motivation, and I like the you know, he was talking about the old gods and new gods, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
That was the one almost nod they gave to Darkseid. Otherwise, you know, Darkseid was nothing mentioned of him in this film, which probably should have been.
I'm glad they said his name, so that debate is finally over as well. What? Whether it's Darkseid or Darkseid.
Yeah.
So I'm glad to know for 35 years I've been saying it correctly.
I've never thought it was anything else myself, but... who was it? Or somebody thought it was Darkseid. I can't remember who it was.
Like Right Fred said?
Yeah. Well, I know who it was. I'm not going to say it, but I know who it was.
Will it not surprise us?
No, it won't.
Well, then I already know. I can see the debate for Darkseid also, because I guess, but I'm glad I've been saying it right the whole time.
Right.
And I hope with all those seeds that we get a new Guts movie sometime.
That would be cool. Yeah.
You know, in a way, I'm glad that he didn't show up and that it appears that he might not be in the next Justice League movie, because you have the Avengers building to a whole Thanos thing. Yeah. I don't really feel like dealing with a whole bunch of Marvel fanboys saying, oh, they're copying Thanos and they got to do the same thing and blah, blah, blah. You know? So yeah. There's only one thing. Taking their time with it.
There's only one thing that's going to disappoint me when Darkseid shows up.
If he's like Apocalypse?
No. No. If he shows up and he's like a burning planet or some crap and not the actual physical form of Darkseid that we know. Kind of like with whatchamacallit and Green Lantern. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
with Parallax?
Parallax, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? It's funny. I keep forgetting that movie exists.
I think a lot of people do. It's kind of like post-traumatic stress. It's a repressed memory for a lot of people.
I got to tell you. I mean, I said to Ronnie in another episode, I'm like, Green Lanterns has always been my thing. And I was so excited to see that movie when it came out. And I just left bewildered. I was like, what just happened?
Well, it didn't do well. And it almost seems like DC is afraid to touch them again. That's why they haven't shown up before now. Because I think they're almost acting like, oh, the memory of that Green Lantern movie is too fresh. We can't have them.
Yeah.
It's hard to wash out of our mouths.
Right. Which is funny.
Or our eyes.
I mean, he's now so well-loved as Deadpool.
Yeah.
That you'd think that they... I mean, I thought it was great in Deadpool when they sort of made fun of Green Lantern in the opening credits.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, you'd think that they would be like, hey, we had him first, even though it was terrible.
Well, I don't think Ryan Reynolds dropped the ball on that. I think the writing and stuff dropped the ball on that.
Honestly, it's not even the writing. I think a lot of it was the studio that, you know, changed things up enough and recut the movie on their own for the theatrical release.
Yeah.
You know, and I got to say, all of these movies that Snyder has done that have the extended versions, I think it's funny that a lot of people talk about Zack Snyder, you know, his movies being, you know, a mess. But then you look at the theatrical release, which is obviously not his edit of the film, because, you know, Watchmen, the theatrical release was weird. And then they put out that, you know, extended edition, which is like 3.5 hours long, which is fantastic. And then you have Batman versus Superman. The theatrical was good, but you're like, this, you know, felt weird at parts. And then they put out the ultimate edition, which is another, you know, almost another hour longer. And it's fantastic.
Like, well, that's why
I'm just thinking, let the guy put out his movies.
And that's why I think they're eventually going to release an extended version of Justice League, and it's going to be closer to what Snyder originally wanted, and I'm predicting I will like it a lot better.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that. I could definitely see that happening in the future. You know. But I don't know. You guys got anything else you wanted to talk about with the movie?
Not off the top of my head. I'm sure when we quit recording, I will.
Well, I'm curious. How did the audience react when you guys were in the theater? Was there a lot of...
When I saw the movie, I went Friday at 6:30 p.m. And, I mean, we have assigned seating now in our theaters. So at like 6:25, the theater was about maybe half full. And my wife looks at me and she goes, wow, this does not bode well. And I said, you know what? It's assigned seating. So like we were in no rush to get there because we knew we had the seats we wanted. So 6:30, the lights go down and the first trailer starts up and the entire theater filled up. I mean, there was like even that awkward first row that's separate from everything else down, like literally at the IMAX screen, totally full. So throughout the movie, there were parts where some people, you could tell who were like the longtime fans because there were a couple, you know, cheers or claps or, you know, yeses from like random people. And I'm sure I was one of them because I laughed at like weird stuff. But when Superman came back to life, the whole theater started cheering. And then also like the whole last scene when he showed up to help, like as soon as he joined the fight, I mean, the place went nuts. And the end of the movie also got an ovation, which was weird. Like I don't get clapping at movies, but people seem to really enjoy this one.
Interesting.
Yeah, I got the same thing, basically, except for we don't have assigned seats at the theater that I went to.
Right.
The audience I was with was stoic as hell.
Really?
I preface this by saying I went Thursday at 6 p.m. So that's a school night. I mean, you know, and it's early and a lot of people are at dinner. So the theater was only half full throughout the whole. And it's a small theater, assigned seats. The same.
Okay.
It's only half. But not one clapping, not one time did the audience break out in clapping. The only time that there was enough audible laughs was the scene where Superman is turning his head and looking at Flash, and they show Flash, and he's got that fuck look on his face. That was the only time that that the crowd audibly laughed. So, yeah, they were really quiet. I was kind of surprised at that. But like I say, I think it was partly the date and time of that, and it was just...
Yeah, I mean, that's what I started thinking. I'm like, you know, I get that it's Friday night, but again, we saw 6:30, which is dinner time, so I wasn't expecting a huge crowd, but, you know, it packed in. And I'm curious, I got to talk to my buddy who saw it Saturday afternoon to see what the crowds were like, you know, when he saw it. But I just know, I knew he had seen it because I just started getting text messages of effing awesome, you know, and like all the stuff that he loved. So good stuff.
The first time it was jam packed full. And then the second time that I saw it, it wasn't clearly, and there wasn't really, there was like a whole row of kids. And I'm going to say like elementary school or age kids.
Okay.
And like as soon as the last scene before the credit started rolling, like their whole two rows was clapping. Mm. So that was in the second one though. But
well, I just brought it up because I was curious because I've never been in a superhero movie with an audience as quiet as they were for this one.
Hmm. Yeah, that would have been weird.
Yeah, I mean, trying to think. I saw Guardians of the Galaxy 2. I remember a lot of laughter, but I don't remember like cheering and stuff. Mm-hmm. But like that, Batman versus Superman was crazy cheering, especially when Wonder Woman shows up at that fight. Oh my goodness. The place, like, I mean, the theater erupted in cheers. Like the Wonder Woman movie, there are a couple parts where they were very loud and into it. But yeah, this one, I don't know. I mean, it could be where I am, that there's just a lot of people that are into this stuff, I guess. I don't know.
Well,
it is Hoboken after all, so there's not very much stuff to look up to.
Well, also, they've got to be in, because they just paid $78 for a ticket.
So. Yeah.
True. Yeah. True. Well, that's like their whole 2-week salary.
You guys suck. No, it did. Trying to think. I think it was, I want to say it was $46 for the 2 tickets for us to go see the movie.
Good Lord.
Yeah. And this wasn't, we didn't even see it in 3D. We just saw an IMAX showing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I was sitting there bitching about the price of sodas and popcorn.
Yeah, like, are there 3D showings of this? Because the theater by us just had it, at least for Friday, it was all 2D.
Yeah, the,
which I was okay with.
We'll see, and at mine, they're showing 3D, 3D D-Box, 2D, 2D D-Box. So there's 4 different types of ways to see it, I guess.
Right.
I don't know what they call it down here. They call it, there's something they call Real D.
Yeah, we have.
Okay.
We've got one of those theaters.
What I've seen is,
that's like the new Dolby stuff.
Yeah. Standard, Real D, IMAX 2D, and IMAX 3D is what I've seen down here in theaters.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, I think maybe when I go see it again, I'll go see it in 3D. Just to see how it is.
How much did you pay for you and your wife?
Me?
Yeah. What was the total?
It was probably about $46.
So you're going to pay $46
yeah, one ticket? Just for me to go see it
in 3D.
Honestly, it depends on the time, but some of the IMAX 3D movies, individual tickets are like $26, $28.
Good grief.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Yeah, I mean, it's nuts. But, you know, we're idiots and we keep paying it, so.
We don't. You do.
I mean, us, the royal we of this area. You know, movies are always packed.
Before we get off of here, there's one trailer that I thought looked amazing also. I don't know if it was the same trailers that you guys had or not.
Was the trailer for Rampage? Because you're wrong.
No.
Oh, okay.
It was Ready Player One.
Yes, that was a kick-ass trailer. I'm assuming it's probably the same trailer. Yeah.
I mean,
thought it was good.
The trailer was online. I don't remember if I've seen it on TV, but I know I'd seen it before. But seeing it on the big screen, man, that movie looks like it's going to be really good.
Yep, I hope it is, too.
Absolutely. And I'm trying to enjoy the trailer, and my wife's like, what is this? Have you read the book? Is the book good? I'm like, God damn, I'll just give you the book when we get home. Shut up. Let me enjoy my movie.
I just paid $30 for your ticket.
It's $7,000 for popcorn and the ticket to this movie. But yeah, that was entertaining. It's funny, I couldn't even remember what the trailers were that we saw. We saw like 6 of them. And I had no recollection what any of them were like 20 minutes after, except for Ready Player One.
Yeah, I couldn't tell what the others were either.
Yeah. I know Rampage wasn't one of them.
No, we didn't see Rampage. I was just curious.
But I don't remember besides Ready Player One.
Yeah.
And the thing I was thinking through Ready Player One trailer was, I was like, oh, I can't wait to get out of here and text DM Sparky and tell him how great this was, because he's really into Ready Player One.
Yeah. You guys got anything else?
I don't think so.
Nope, that's it.
Jay, thank you for joining us.
Glad to do it. Glad.
And thank all of you for listening to the latest episode of the Absolute DC Podcast. You can tweet me directly at Aaron S. Bell.
You can tweet me at Rombar316.
You can tweet Jay at?
At Jay Forgets.
Is that what it is? I never know.
Yeah.
I always Jay, forget.
I guess I forget. Because I just hit reply. I don't know what it is.
Or you can also reach me at BOTR Comics, because I do that other podcast, Best of the Rest.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm putting a shameless plug in here.
No, that's fine. I was going to plug you anyway.
Okay. And you also do I Am Gotham sometimes with Martin, too.
Yeah, we're doing Batman the Animated Series with him, so we do those from time to time.
And also, you appear occasionally on the Open Bar podcast.
Yes, I do.
Which are a mess, but everyone should listen to them anyway.
but not at work.
Yeah, seriously. You can tweet the show directly at DC_absolute. And I guess until next time. DC Absolute.
Hell yeah.
That wasn't terrible.
That was pathetic. Ooh.
Nerdy Legion.
NerdyLegion.com. Totally confused. Shut up. I hate you. Forget it. Podcast over. Shut up. You're not my real dad. Right?
Yeah. I'm assuming one of you guys was recording.
No, I thought you were recording.
Okay. Well, that's it. Oh, well, we're on.
Oh, crap. Martin said he was going to record.
I am recording.
Yeah, I am also.
Okay.
Sparky has not seen the movie yet.
I told him
one of us would edit it together just so he doesn't get spoiled listening to it.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. So
I'll edit it tomorrow.
All right. Yeah, I mean, if you want to do that and then send it back to me, I'll schedule everything in the tweets and whatnot.
Yeah, since I break the website when I post.
Yeah, when I was going to post last week's episode, everything with the scheduler was broken. That I was able to put it up. I got everything. But when you clicked on schedule the podcast, it didn't bring up the calendar. So Martin fixed that. So then I scheduled it and I put it through and the time wasn't there. So I was like, Martin, what the hell? He goes, oh, so he gets that fixed. So I get everything together. I put it through and then it says you have to put an episode number. And I'm like, I thought that it was supposed to auto populate the episode number. And he goes, it does. I go, it didn't. It's telling me I need to put one in. And then I put one in and then it loads and it tells me I don't have an audio file anymore. So he's like, what the hell did you do to this site? I'm like, I'm just telling you, this is what's happening. I'm sending him screenshots of every error. I'm like, here you go. But I don't know what you did to break it.
Pretty much the same thing. Cause every time I tried to post it, it kept telling me that I needed an episode number.
Yeah.
And then he was like, don't worry about it. Just send me the file and I'll post it. And I was like, dude, you're at work. I mean, I was at work also, but he was busy at work.
Right.
And
well, at first he said he was going to take those out.
Boom. Yeah.
But I noticed yesterday they were still out there. The episode numbers. So
yeah. I mean, it's not a big deal. I could, you know, at least I'm on the one site and I could find the episode number easily instead of being like, oh, crap, I'm on Pippo. Now I got to open up this tab and figure out what my episode, what are we on?
Yeah, you know, and you open up too many tabs in Netscape and everything crashes.
Netscape. I'm still using America Online. I find their browser to be almost as good as Dolphin browser.
Oh. All right, boys. I'm out of here.
I'm going to go and finish watching this garbage Survivor Series.
Well, at least it's Brock and AJ now.
Yeah. Yeah, why is this match on now? Is there only this and the men's elimination match left?
I
wasn't really paying attention.
Oh. I think, but I wasn't really either, so.
Yeah.
I still haven't watched Thursday's Gotham. I got to go do that sometime.
I haven't watched any of this week's shows yet, but that's what this week at work is for. Yeah.
All right, dudes.
Yep. Thank you again, Jay.
Good night, gentlemen.
Talk to you all on Discord.
Take care.
All
right.